Closing the Strait of Hormuz, the Economic Nuclear Option. In Frank Herbert's Children of Dune, 2003 miniseries, amid the swirling plots to seize or defend Arrakis, a razor-sharp truth emerges. It's not who controls the spice, but who has the ability to disrupt the spice. This line pierces the facade of empire. In Herbert's universe, the spice melange is the ultimate resource, prolonging life, granting prescience, powering fold space navigation. Yet real power resides not in harvesting or stockpiling it, but in the credible threat to cut it off. Whoever can halt the flow holds the galaxy by the throat. The parallel to March 6, 2026, is unmistakable. Modern civilization runs not on spice but on energy, and the closest real-world analog to Arrakis' fragile lifeline is the Strait of Hormuz, a narrow maritime corridor barely 50 kilometers wide at its tightest point. It carries roughly one-fifth of global seaborne oil and around a quarter of liquefied natural gas, LNG, exports. In ordinary times, this flow is so constant it becomes invisible infrastructure. But that apparent stability conceals extraordinary vulnerability. The global economy depends on uninterrupted passage through a single, easily threatened choke point. The ongoing crisis has laid bare that fragility. Following U.S.-Israeli strikes on Iran beginning February 28, Operation Epic Fury, Iran's retaliatory actions, attacks on vessels and facilities, IRGC declarations of closure, and explicit threats against any ship attempting transit, have reduced tanker traffic to near zero. Hundreds of vessels, estimates exceed 150 to 200 tankers and other ships, sit anchored or stranded in the Gulf, unable to move. Production halts ripple outward, from Qatar Energy's force majeure at Ras Laffan to damaged tankers and halted flows. Yet the decisive mechanism closing the strait is not purely military. Missiles and drones set the stage, but the invisible trigger has been financial, the collapse of marine insurance. The invisible trigger, insurance collapse. Global shipping rests on a hidden layer of coverage, hull insurance, protection, and indemnity, P&I, and especially war risk policies underwritten primarily in London's market, including Lloyd's of London and the International Group of P&I Clubs, Guard, Schooled, North Standard, London P&I Club, American Club, and others. Without these, charter contracts prohibit sailing, lenders withhold financing, and ports deny entry. In the crisis's opening days, insurers assessed the risk as no longer calculable. Major players issued cancellation notices for war risk extensions in Iranian waters, the Persian Gulf, adjacent areas, and the Strait of Hormuz itself, effective from March 5, 2026, after 72-hour notices starting March 1 to 2. The Joint War Committee widened the high-risk zone to encompass the entire Gulf region. Premiums for any remaining coverage have skyrocketed. Reports cite jumps to 1% of hull value from 0.25%, or 12-fold increases in some cases. For a $100 million tanker, war risk premiums per voyage leap from $200,000 to $1 million, rendering transit economically impossible for most operators. The result? A maritime artery that remains technically open but economically unusable. Tankers do not sail because no credible insurance will back them. A handful of daring vessels may run dark, AIS off, but commercial traffic has collapsed by 75 to 80% or more, with no oil shipments in the past 24 hours as of March 6 and only sporadic cargo transits. The strait is de facto closed, not by mines or blockships, but by underwriters in London hanging up the phone. A shock far larger than 1973. The 1973 to 1974 oil crisis remains the benchmark. OPEC cuts and embargoes reduced global oil supply by 7 to 12%, averaging 9% shortfall, quadrupling prices from $3/barrel to $11-$12 and igniting decade-long stagflation. The 2026 Hormuz disruption is structurally far larger. 18 to 21% effective oil supply loss, partial pipeline bypasses from Saudi Arabia/UAE offer limited relief amid production halts and transit paralysis. 20 to 25% global LNG exports disrupted, Qatar and UAE volumes offline, with LNG markets far less flexible than oil. Petrochemical feedstock shortages and fleet capacity removed by stranded vessels. Today's just-in-time, containerized supply chains ensure the shock spreads faster and wider than in the 1970s. The mathematics of panic. Short-run energy demand is extremely inelastic. Elasticity estimates minus 0.05 to minus 0.3. Consumers cannot swap out cars overnight, industries cannot substitute fuels instantly, and panic amplifies hoarding/speculation. In 1973, a less than 10% hit produced a 300 to 400% surge, a disruption more than twice as large, compounded by LNG shortages and shipping paralysis, could trigger nonlinear escalation in indefinite scenarios. Current Brent levels hover around $84 to $85, up 15 to 23% month to date amid volatility, with markets pricing temporary duration. Mainstream forecasts cap prolonged cases at $90 to $120, or $140 tail risk, assuming offsets and demand destruction. But if perception shifts to indefinite closure, the psychological pivot unleashes unmodeled extremes, potentially 800 to 1,000% spikes to $600 to $750/barrel or beyond in full panic. Strategic reserves, a finite buffer. IEA members hold 90-plus days of net import coverage, plus excess. Coordinated releases could blunt early shortfalls. But reserves are a countdown, not salvation. Aggressive drawdowns risk depletion by late summer/autumn in prolonged cases, forcing rationing or exhaustion and triggering renewed price waves as markets confront vanishing buffers. Cascading economic effects. The disruption metastasizes beyond energy markets, unleashing a chain reaction that ripples through every layer of the global economy. What starts as a localized choke point crisis metastasizes into widespread structural damage, where higher energy costs act as a multiplier across interconnected systems. The effects compound over time. Initial price shocks give way to behavioral changes, supply constraints, reduced output, and ultimately deep contractions in activity and employment. In an indefinite or prolonged scenario, these cascades accelerate, turning temporary volatility into systemic fragility. Shipping and global trade paralysis. The immediate and most visible propagation occurs in maritime transport. Bunker fuel prices surge in tandem with crude, while war risk insurance premiums have already exploded, jumping from 0.25% to 1% of hull value, or more, in days, adding hundreds of thousands to millions per voyage depending on vessel size. Major P&I clubs, Guard, Schooled, North Standard, London P&I Club, American Club, issued cancellations effective March 5, after notices on March 1 to 2, making transit economically impossible for most. Stranded tankers, over 150 to 200 vessels reported anchored or idle in the Gulf, shrink effective fleet capacity, forcing rerouting around the Cape of Good Hope for those willing to risk uninsured or high-premium voyages. These detours add thousands of miles, weeks of transit time, and massive congestion at alternative ports. Freight rates multiply, supertanker and container surcharges reach unprecedented levels, with emergency fees in the thousands per TEU on affected routes. The fallout hits global trade broadly. Consumer goods, industrial components, electronics, and raw materials all become more expensive and delayed. Just-in-time manufacturing grinds slower. Inventory buffers deplete, and supply chain bottlenecks emerge in sectors far removed from energy. Ports in Asia, heavily reliant on Gulf transshipment hubs like Jebel Ali, face backlogs, while exporters in India, for example, basmati rice shipments stuck at ports, and elsewhere report millions of tons immobilized. The net effect is broad-based inflation in traded goods, squeezing corporate margins and household budgets alike. Food systems under siege. Energy costs permeate agriculture at every stage, transforming an oil/LNG shock into a profound food crisis. Diesel powers tractors, harvesters, and irrigation pumps. Natural gas is the primary feedstock for nitrogen fertilizers, urea, ammonia, and maritime shipping moves grains, oils, and processed foods globally. Fertilizer markets react swiftly. Roughly one-third of global urea trade, a key nitrogen source, transits the strait or originates in Gulf producers. Prices have already spiked. Urea barges in New Orleans jumped from $475/ton pre-crisis to $520/ton within days, up $50/ton, or 11 to 17%, with reports of $60/ton increases in a single week and potential for hundreds more if prolonged. Phosphate and other nutrients follow similar trajectories. Farmers, facing spring planting in the Northern Hemisphere, cut application rates to manage costs, leading to lower crop yields in upcoming harvests. Transportation inflation compounds the pain. Higher freight and fuel costs raise landed prices for imported wheat, animal feed, and staples, pushing up bread, poultry, pork, dairy, seafood, and other essentials. In import-dependent regions, for example, parts of Africa, South Asia, food inflation accelerates toward humanitarian thresholds. Wealthier nations endure painful but manageable rises. Global food production, nearly half dependent on synthetic nitrogen, faces downward pressure, risking shortages and political instability in vulnerable areas. Industrial and construction breakdown. Energy-intensive industries absorb the brunt next. Steel production, chemicals manufacturing, cement kilns, and heavy machinery all rely on cheap, reliable hydrocarbons and electricity, often gas-balanced. Input costs become unsustainable. Steel prices surge as energy bills double or triple, margins vanish. Chemical plants, petrochemical dependent, curtail output or shut down. Construction, one of the largest global employers, freezes under the weight of soaring material costs, steel, cement, asphalt, and financing hurdles, higher interest rates amid inflation fears. Developers pause projects, infrastructure programs stall, housing shortages worsen in already strained markets. The sector's contraction feeds back into unemployment and reduced demand for related goods, appliances, furnishings, deepening the downturn. Financial markets and credit crunch. Financial systems react with violence to collapsing growth expectations. Equity indices plunge as earnings forecasts crater across airlines, logistics, retail, manufacturing, and consumer discretionary sectors. Safe haven flows dry, bond yields erratic. Credit markets tighten as banks raise provisions against rising defaults and collateral devaluation. Liquidity evaporates precisely when businesses need it most for working capital or hedging. Corporate debt burdens swell under higher interest rates, central banks grapple with inflation resurgence and falling revenues. Stranded assets in carbon-intensive sectors amplify losses. Systemic risks from interconnected exposures, for example, energy-linked derivatives, heighten contagion fears. Employment shock and the vicious cycle. The human cost manifests in waves of unemployment. Energy-intensive sectors shed jobs first, airlines ground flights, trucking firms idle vehicles, chemical plants lay off workers. Ripples spread, reduce consumer spending, as households allocate more to essentials like food, heating, and transport, hits retail, hospitality, and services hard. Construction layoffs compound the pain. Lost income plus soaring costs for basics create a poverty trap. Households cut discretionary outlays further, accelerating business failures and demand destruction. What begins as sectoral contraction evolves into broad recession or depression in indefinite scenarios, where recovery requires years to rebuild confidence, restart failed enterprises, and restore supply chains. These cascades illustrate the fragility of interdependence. Energy underpins transport, transport enables trade, trade sustains industry and food systems, industry supports employment, and employment drives consumption. Sever the energy foundation, and the structure fractures layer by layer. In prolonged disruption, the global economy does not merely slow, it unravels, with recovery horizons stretching into decades rather than years. The insurance-triggered closure of Hormuz has already shown how a financial mechanism can achieve what military force alone might struggle to sustain, halting the flow and unleashing systemic collapse. Iran as unlikely steward, disrupting the flow for the planet. In a profound and ironic twist, Iran's actions, whether intentional or emergent, may inadvertently position the country as an unintended hero in the fight against climate change. The effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz, by slashing 18-21% of global oil supply and 20-25% of LNG exports, forces the world into rapid, involuntary demand destruction on a scale that international agreements like Kyoto and Paris have never achieved. Kyoto, 1997, and Paris, 2015, set ambitious but voluntary targets, relying on gradual transitions, technology diffusion, and national pledges, yet global emissions continued rising for decades, with fossil fuel use expanding in emerging economies. A sustained Hormuz disruption, however, could reduce global greenhouse gas emissions far more aggressively. Burning less oil and gas means fewer CO2 releases from combustion, shipping, via reroutes and reduced volumes, and downstream industries. If prices spike to 800 to 1,000% levels in prolonged panic, pushing crude towards $600 to $750/barrel or beyond, energy consumption collapses through rationing, curtailments, behavioral shifts, and economic contraction, potentially cutting emissions by tens or hundreds of millions of tons annually, dwarfing the incremental reductions from renewables adoptions or efficiency gains under Paris. This aligns strikingly with Islamic principles of environmental stewardship. The Quran describes humanity as khalifa, vicegerent or steward, on earth, for example, 230:6-165, entrusted with amana, trust/responsibility, to protect and balance creation rather than exploit it wastefully. Concepts like not corrupting the land, Fasad fi al-Ard, 756, 3041, and moderation in consumption emphasize preserving resources for future generations. Iran's disruption, framed through this lens, could be seen as an extreme enforcement of planetary guardianship. By halting the unchecked flow of fossil fuels that drive climate disruption, it compels humanity toward restraint, reduced extraction, and accelerated transition away from carbon dependence. The strategic lesson: Saudi Arabia may pump the most oil, the U.S. may wield the largest military, energy giants may control production. But none hold the decisive lever exposed by this crisis. That lever is disruption. Iran, through direct threats and the insurance market's rational response, has demonstrated the ability to stop the flow. The global economy, addicted to cheap, uninterrupted energy like Dune's universe to melange, now confronts its own vulnerability. In Herbert's words, spoken amid Arrakis dunes, control is not ownership of the resource. Control is the ability to stop the flow. The Strait of Hormuz is not merely a shipping lane. It is the central artery of our energy-dependent world. Severing it, even indirectly through financial mechanisms, reveals how fragile globalization truly is. The lesson of March 2026 echoes across centuries and galaxies alike. True power lies not in who controls the spice, but in who can disrupt it.